Well, I admit that it may be because I'm tired and a little more sensitive, but I was discouraged during the announcements this morning. When Glenn talked about everybody needing to move their stuff, I thought, what does it say about my preaching that our members are bringing pillows and blankets to church? But your worship this morning has energized me and reinvigorated me. And I thank you for that. And I look forward to this week that is set before us with great anticipation as we learn more about Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? I hope you're ready. I want to read just three verses from Luke, the 8th chapter, and I want to invite you to turn and read with me verses 16, 17, and 18. And we're going to take one of the phrases that Jesus used as we are on the threshold of the lectures that will hopefully help us to be ready. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16. Jesus said, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him." It is no accident that Jesus said those words right after telling the parable of the sower. The parable that he would say on another occasion, if you don't understand this one, you don't understand any of them. Because the parable of the sower had to do with the reception of the word of God in the heart. As the disciples would go about preaching, people were listening and receiving this word. And so right after telling that parable, Jesus tells another and says these words, "Take care how you listen." Take care how you listen. Hearing is not the same as listening. Hearing is the recognition of sound. The thunder claps and you say, "Did you hear that last night?" But no wife says about her husband, "He's not hearing me." She says, "He's not listening to me." Listening involves understanding. And Jesus says, take care how you listen. Beginning tomorrow morning, we will hear 16 sermons over 4 days. And so I want to say to you this morning, take care how you listen. Isn't it amazing how every other part of our worship service, we take care how we do that? We've had Brother Tim Stevens come and speak just to our song leaders and study just with those who lead singing so that they will understand their responsibility and do it in a way that glorifies God and edifies the church. And we will have training classes for young men and older men so that they might learn how to lead prayer in the public assembly and be leaders in our worship service. And every Lord's Day, we have a brother who presides over the Lord's table. And before we partake, he either reads passage or says some words lest we partake in an unworthy manner. And we do that with great care. And then the preacher gets up and it's just assumed, I know how to listen. I don't need any training. I'll just do what I've always done. To you especially, take care how you listen. Isn't it amazing that we just assume we can do this with no training? Could I say three things this morning that will help us take care how we listen this week? Number one, listen with responsibility. When you listen to the preaching of the gospel this morning, this evening, all week, every week, listen with responsibility. We're not just listening to our favorite author. We're not listening to music. We're listening to the Word of God, and that involves responsibility. Turn to Acts chapter 17 and notice what is said about those in the church in Berea. Acts the 17th chapter, as Paul was going about preaching from place to place. In verse 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. First, I want you to notice that it said they received the word with eagerness, with great eagerness or willingness. Does that describe how you came to the assembly this morning? Ready to receive the word? Remember several years ago, we had a cell phone that went off during the service, and it wasn't just a cell phone ring, but it was one of those annoying rings that just kept going, and finally it cycled off, and it turned out that it was the cell phone of one of our older ladies, and her daughter was mortified. She said, "Mom, why didn't you turn off your cell phone?" And she said, "Well, the whole time I was thinking, somebody here has the same ringer I do." Sometimes there are things that distract us, and they cause us to lose our attention. And while we can't always control those, what we can control is whether I'm prepared and eager to hear the Word of God. And so eager to do that, that it says they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Do you realize what a temptation it could have been for them to say, "Well, this is Paul and Silas. Surely they know what they're talking about. Surely they've got it right. They would never lead us astray. They would never say something that wasn't so." But even Paul and Silas, they went back and examined the scriptures to see whether they were speaking the truth. You listen with responsibility, and you do that for every gospel preacher. I don't care who it is. To see whether these things are right. If we don't get this part of the preaching of the gospel right, if this part of our worship is not correct, does it matter how well we do everything else? Does it matter how beautiful the singing is and how pensive the Lord's Supper? Does it matter how great a style the preaching is done in? If it's not according to book, chapter, and verse, we can't afford to just sit there on autopilot and not examine the scriptures to see whether these things are so. Listen with responsibility. Continue in Acts chapter 18. And notice what happened down at verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Well, here's two people, a husband and a wife, who were listening with responsibility. And they were listening to an eloquent man who was mighty in the Scriptures, and he was well trained. But he didn't have the whole truth. And they didn't say, oh, well, he'll figure it out. Somebody else will correct him. It's not that big of a deal. They took him aside and explained the way of truth more accurately. Each of us has that responsibility to test the spirits, John said, to see whether they are of God. Take care how you listen. Listen with responsibility. Number two, listen with humility. When you listen to the preaching of the gospel, listen with responsibility and with humility. James speaks of this in James chapter 1 when he talks about those being hearers of the word. But I want you to notice what he said in James chapter 1. There it is again, verse 21. Starting at verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. In humility, he said, receive the word. It is the heart that is the target of every gospel sermon. It's what is said on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that they were pierced to the heart. And do you remember what this piercing of the heart caused them to ask in Acts chapter 2 in verse 37? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Why? Because they had received the word with humility. They didn't hear the preaching that their sin caused the death of Jesus and say, well, that's your problem. What shall we do? What can we do to make this right with God? Listen with humility. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, don't automatically assume that your heart is the good soil and say, well, those other three, those describe everybody else. I'm the receptive one. Listen with humility. James had said, let everyone, verse 19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When you hear those words, is your first thought, well, does that describe me? Or am I maybe quick to anger and quick to speak and not listen? Listen with humility. Jesus dropped a bombshell on his disciples at the Last Supper. He had already predicted to them that he was going to be betrayed. But this time he said, one of you will betray me. One of my own inner circle, one of the 12. And do you remember what the disciples asked him one by one? They didn't say, oh, I bet it's Judas, isn't it? And I tell you what, I was suspicious of him from the beginning. No, each one around the table said, surely not I, Lord. Is it me? Please, Lord, tell me it's not me. Would you have the humility to say that? That when a hard sermon is preached, that is difficult to hear, not because the preaching is poor, but because the application is obvious, is your first thought, is he talking to me? Does this apply to me? Listen with humility. It might surprise you to know what the preacher wants to hear most at the end of the sermon. You might think that he wants to hear you say, great job. And that's good to hear. Two or three times I've heard it in my career. But you won't know what I want more than that. For you to say, I needed that. Because what that communicates is that the Word of God has found its mark. It hit the heart. And it fell on someone who received the Word with humility. Take care how you listen. And then number three, you need to listen with responsibility and with humility. But number three, you need to listen with accountability. Listen with accountability. Take care how you listen to the extent that you will say, I'm going to do something about this. This is not just good information. It's not just something well presented. It's not just something I needed. It's something I'm going to put into practice. And I'm going to be accountable to that. Because the temptation for us after a sermon is to say, I wish so-and-so had been here. They really needed that. No, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to change. In John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to the apostles again. And made another prediction. Now this was after Peter had said to Jesus that even though all these other disciples may fall away, I will not. They may fall away, but I'm ready to die for you this night. And we know that Peter, in fact, denied Jesus three times. So in verse 15 of John 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Well, what are the these? When he said, "Do you love me more than these?" Was he talking about the fish they had just caught? Do you love fishing rather than fishing for men? Or could it be he's bringing Peter back to his words when Peter had said, "All these may fall away, but I will not. Peter, do you really love me more than these? You've said that before. But when are you going to do something about that?" Could it be that Jesus asked him three times because Peter denied him three times? It's easy to say the right words when we're in this setting. It's easier to say, "Yes, I'm going to do better. I'm going to change that." How many times is Jesus going to have to ask you, "Do you love me or not?" You say you do, but what about out on the battlefield? Are you going to hold yourself accountable to what you've committed? He continues in verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you," still talking to Peter, "when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. We know that Peter was later crucified. And so that could be a reference to his hands being stretched out. Said, "This is what's going to come for you, Peter. This is where your commitment will end. Now, do you really love me? Are you so committed? Then follow me. Be accountable. Don't just say the words. Where are the deeds?" Look at Peter's response in verse 20. Turning around, Peter saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. That was John, the one also who had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Now, isn't that our reaction sometimes to the gospel? Well, if I have to give up this, what about him? If I have to go through that, what about her? Why does she have such an easy life? Why should I be the only one who's having to sacrifice? And Jesus said, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Listen with accountability. That no matter what everyone or anyone else is doing, I'm going to be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. I'm going to receive it with humility. And I'm going to let it take hold in my life and follow it. Let come and go what may. Take care how you listen. Listen with responsibility, with humility, and with accountability. We will hear good preaching, but we're not here to be entertained. The power of the sermon is not in the preacher. He's just the instrument. He's just the vessel. The power is in the word he proclaims. And so, with all due respect, don't listen to Ricky. Don't listen to Terry, to Gary, to Paul. Don't listen to me. listen to him because they are his words. And while you're doing so, take care how you listen. It could be that the word of God implanted, which is able to save your souls, has reached your heart. And you're ready to be accountable to Jesus, who said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." This opportunity is yours, and we're here to help. If we can assist you in obeying the gospel, or in coming back to the Lord, or asking for prayers from your brethren, any need at all, please let that be known right now while we stand, while we sing.